I encourage you tonight to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 3 this evening. James chapter 3, we're going to conclude our series that we have been doing on curbing the tongue for Christ's glory. Curbing the tongue for Christ's glory. And we've been looking at various passages, mostly in the Proverbs, but also in the book of James. James has a great deal to say about the tongue. And we know from what James has taught us already that our tongue is unruly. All animals, James tells us in chapter 3, can be tamed. Unless something is terribly wrong with them, they can be tamed. Whereas the tongue cannot. No man can tame it. Let's look beginning at verse 3 there. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of, notice what he says here, hell. That's what sets it on fire. Every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture that instructs us and teaches us concerning the nature of our tongue. And I pray, dear Lord, that we might understand that James was talking here to believers. He calls them brethren. And we have to understand that even brothers and sisters in Christ can have trouble with the tongue. And that's why it needs to come under the domination of the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, the power of Christ, so that we can keep it under control, that it would not be the unleashing of a fire that would cause great damage and destruction to others. Pray now your blessing upon this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to just quickly review what we've covered so far. It's hard to believe we started this in July. We're already near the end of August, so we're going to finish up this evening. But we talked about the excessive talk opens the door to sin, and we looked at several passages of Scriptures that tell us that. Excessive talk fuels gossip. Excessive talk is the enemy of listening. We spent a lot of time on that one. The enemy of listening. You're so busy forming what you're going to say that you don't hear what the person is telling. Very, very important that we learn to listen. Excessive talk often feeds boasting. We find that in our James passage especially, where he talks about that tendency with the tongue. And then number five, we spent last week talking about excessive talk may lead to flattery. Number six, we did not finish. Excessive talk most often is idle talk. Idle talk. What does it mean to be idle? We're not talking about an idol that you bow down to. We're talking about idle talk in the sense, in the Greek language, it's the idea of empty. It doesn't have any worth to it. What do you do with salt when it's lost its savor? The Bible says we're to throw it into the road, put it in the road, because it's now worthless. It's worthless. That's the same word that's used here for idle talk, worthless talk. It doesn't have any savor to it. It's not intended to help. And in most cases, it doesn't hurt, but it's not beneficial to others. It's idle talk. And we looked at that last time, Proverbs 14 and verse 23, which tells us, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. We all know what poverty is. We've all had a touch of that. There were a lot of things growing up that our family were not able to do because of the money situation. My dad worked very hard to put three kids through Santa Rosa Christian School. There was no step up back then. And it was just a step out to work. And dad worked. He umpired. He did all kinds of things. We all had, as kids, had jobs. None of us played sports because we were working. We had to get the money together to be able to exist as a family. We ate canned food from our garden. We knew a little bit about poverty, and some of you have also known that. We know what that is. That's being without. Well, here we find in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there's profit. But in one area, it's not. And that's idle chatter. Just talking. Just constantly talking. Are you thinking before you speak? Well, the idle chatter, you're not. You're just talking. You're taking up space with words. We need to have an economy of words. We need to understand and know that our words should have a purpose. It should be intended to help and to be a blessing, not just bloviating. Bloviating is the spewing out of words, and it's not helpful. It's not intended to help because you haven't thought it through. We all can probably name somebody in our lives in the past or maybe even in the present that are, when you see them coming, is there a side street? Is there a side road? Because you know what's going to happen. It's going to be an hour of them talking. And that's about all you're going to get. Because they're just going to be talking, talking, talking. They've been waiting all day to tell you all this stuff. Well, for the Christian, for the believer in Christ, we're to be careful about that. We're not to dominate people's time with idle chatter. And you need to have self-awareness. Everybody know what self-awareness is? All right. Have you ever stood in an ant bed? Oh, boy. We had a kid that came in last year, just chewed up, and they were standing in an ant bed out there on the playground, and I don't know how they found it, but they were just standing there, and it was all up their legs. It was all over their clothes. I mean, it was just, you just felt horrible, and all you could think about was the old-timey Westerns where they buried people in the sand, the old Indian thing where they buried them in the sand. And they brought in all the ants to just slowly kill the person, you know. And that is one of my worst. I hate ant bites. And so I try to have a little bit of self-awareness. I try to look down. If I'm going to stand, I look down. Because I've stood in ant beds before. And I've been chewed up. And it's not a fun thing. Self-awareness is, all right, I'm in Florida. And we have fire ants. Anybody know why they're called fire ants? They don't have little flames as they walk around. Why do they call them a fire ant? Because when they bite you, it feels like fire. Self-awareness says, I'm not going to stand in an ant bed. I'm going to make sure I'm not standing in any ant bed. Self-awareness. And we have to have the same thing. I will set a watch upon my mouth. All right? I want to be careful. So excessive talk is most often idle talk. We won't take time to go to the other passages of Scripture, but you're very familiar with them in that regard with Matthew 12. But I say that every idle word shall be brought to account. That's what our Lord says. So we got to be careful with the tongue. Let's go to the next one. Excessive talk may give birth to profane activity. Profane activity or action. I want us to look here in our passage in James chapter 3. How many of you saw some profane activity described by James in chapter 3 about the tongue? How great a fire the tongue kindleth, deadly poison. By the way, I love collecting bottles. And do you know that they made poison bottles all different than regular bottles? Anybody know what shape they always made them in? They made them in a diamond shape. So they were always sharp on the ends, and they had all kinds of knobs, bumps on the glass. So in the middle of the night, remember back in those days, no electricity, middle of the night, you're fumbling around in the medicine cabinet trying to find the aspirin, and you felt this bottle, you know it was a poison bottle. It was different from all the other poisons. By the way, poison bottles today are some of the most expensive ones to purchase if you want to buy one. I don't know why you'd want to buy a poison bottle. I don't have a poison bottle. But they have them out there. They're in beautiful colors and all kinds of stuff. But what was inside of the bottle? Something that would kill you if you imbibed it in the middle of the night. So they came up with the idea, self-awareness. What can we do to help people not ingest this in the middle of the night when they get up, it's dark, you can't see? You make the shape of the bottle unique. All poison bottles are unique that way. They're in a diamond shape. They come to a point on each side, and they have grooves all up and down. So when you felt it, you felt, this is different. This is not a smooth bottle. This is a rough bottle. It's got poison in it. And so you were careful. The tongue is poison. That's scandalous. That's profane. What else do we learn? Well, it says in verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. There's an inconsistency. There is a profane activity with the tongue that in one minute it's blessing God, the Creator, and the next minute we're over here blessing out somebody else, cursing them. You know, it was a horrible thing growing up to hear somebody curse. You didn't hear it that often whenever I was growing up in the 60s. You know, people cursed. I'm not saying that they didn't curse back in the 1960s. But you didn't hear it that often. People were careful. They knew our family were believers in Christ, and so whenever they came around, they didn't utter profane words. But today, it's just anything goes. It's on your newscast every night. But that's not what this is talking about. Most people interpret this as cursing, you know, saying bad words. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being a hypocrite. It's talking about inconsistency, where you're over talking the righteous talk, and then somebody does you wrong, and then you just get all over them and call them names and say awful things about them. Stop! James says, you just started a fire. Arsonists are terrible people. To see the destruction that comes and the lives lost to arsony when someone goes and deliberately starts a fire that destroys a person's house or unintentionally throws out a cigarette. I was talking the other day about a young man that graduated from our school who was riding a motorcycle over in front of Taco Bell. Somebody in a car flung out a cigarette. It got caught in his jacket. And the petroleum base of the internal thing, Caleb is his name, caught on fire. As he was going on, and all of a sudden flames started shooting up inside of his jacket, and he was burned badly. To this day, he has had multiple surgeries to try to reconstruct his back, and it was just somebody flicking out a cigarette, and it went into his coat and badly burned the back of his neck. It's just horrendous. And he's lived with that. He's a hard worker. He's a believer in Christ. He lives up there in South Carolina. Every once in a while, he'll stop by our house. But he said, the Lord had that happen to me. Random, what I thought, to start with. For about 6-7 months out there along the road where his motorcycle ended up and they took the jacket off, there was a big burn section where that jacket was on fire, and they had to get it off of him, and he was just scalded badly. A fire does profane things. And yet at the same time, it does good things. We don't understand. He goes on to even describe it further. Verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same time both sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. James is touching on something. This ought not to be, he says that in verse 10. This ought not to be among believers. There should be the check of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that overcomes us whenever we want to lash out. And we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. We need God's Word to govern the tongue. Remember the picture of the big ship? Here's this huge ship, a container ship. It could be up to 1,000 feet long. Beth and I went over and saw the SS United States. We got one of those cruises, and we went down the Mobile River, and we cruised around it and took some pictures. From a kid, I've always liked the SS United States. That was one of my dreams, was to get to ride on it. If I rode on it now, it would be going down to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, because that's its next ride. They're going to sink it out there south of Destin, about 35 miles. But being in that boat and pulling alongside that huge ship, to this day, it has the world speed record for a trip across from New York to England. No other ship has been able to surpass it. Massive motors on board, propellers, four propellers. It was actually an aircraft carrier that they canceled, and so the company bought it and made it into a cruise ship. Just an unimaginable amount of power that ship had. And it was able to cut through the ocean at a high rate of speed and holds to this day the speed record for a cruise ship. Now, do you realize how big the rudder is on that? It is amazingly small compared to that 1,000-foot-long boat. It's about 14 feet in width and about 20 feet in depth. Now, that's not very big. And yet, when it's operated by those huge motors that turn it from one way to the other, it's able to make that big ship turn and go in the other direction. That little helm. And it's even smaller when you go up into the bridge. Have you ever been on the bridge of an aircraft carrier? Roger and I had that privilege back in 1989. We got to eat supper with the captain of the ship. He had a child in my class, and he invited Roger and I to go, and we had a mess with the officers, and it was a lot of fun. And that massive, huge ship, and he took us up to the bridge, and the wheel that operates that was relatively small compared to that. That a platform that the pilot stood on, and they put their hands like this, and it was a metal wheel. It wasn't the old spoke type things that you can see from the old days. It was a metal wheel. And it was about 3 feet across. And that one wheel, they watched the guide on there, the degrees in which they were to turn and so forth like that. They would spin that thing. And that huge, massive ship would turn in the ocean. It took a while, but it turned that whole ship, that little rudder in the back. That's your tongue. That's your tongue. Excessive talking is most often idle talk. Excessive talking may give birth to profane activity. And then finally here, number 8, excessive talk usually brings destruction. It brings destruction. What does a fire do? Yeah, it brings destruction. I've walked a piece of property that they just cleared up there north of town, not too far from where Brian and Caroline live, and they cleared this big old huge property, and so I walked it back there. I was looking for artifacts and glass and so forth like that. The only thing I found was two very large dogs. And if you've ever seen a white man with white hair run, that was me, because I was getting out of there. That thing, woof, 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 woof. I mean, he was at the end of his chain, and another one was not chained, and he was just about as big. So I got out of there very quickly. But just walking that property, and there were old home sites back in there. You could see the debris field from where the old house used to be. Chips and pieces of old tile and broken bottles and household goods and stuff that had been crushed up by the bulldozers. And you would see there was at least four houses back in there. I found all of the spots where they used to be. Just walking around, because you can see the debris field from what is left from that. Now think about the destruction that came to them when those bulldozers came in there, knocked them all down. Most of it was pushed way to the very back. It's going to be hauled away. And somebody lived there. That was their house. Maybe they had children there. Maybe they spent their whole lives there. And now it's all gone, destroyed by a bulldozer. Your tongue can cause great, great destruction. Not only that, we have the comparison of the poison. What does poison do? Poison can cause death. Poison can cause death. I remember the German General Rommel, who became quite famous for his exploits in North Africa during World War II. He was ordered back to Berlin toward the end of the war. And Adolf Hitler had lost complete trust in him and accused him of all kinds of things. And he said, you need to say goodbye to your family. So he comes to his house. He's escorted by SS agents. They go to his house. He says goodbye to his family. He doesn't tell them where he's going. Says goodbye to his family. He says goodbye to his son. He said, I'm off to a secret mission. So I don't know if I'll see you again. The secret mission was a suicide tablet that was forced into his mouth just down the street from after meeting, saying goodbye with his family. As he was in the back seat, one of the agents took out one of those cyanide tablets, shoved it in his mouth, and pushed his mouth against it over and over again. And within 3 minutes, he was dead, slumped over in his seat. The great German general killed by Adolf Hitler. And all it was one small poison tablet that took his life, just like that. Poison is destructive. Whenever we go to say something, I want you to think of a poison bottle. Can you do that? I've described them for you. The poison bottle that has bad stuff in it. It's shaped in a certain way to alert you that it's poison. Before you say what you're going to say, with all your energy and with all your might, and you're just going to unleash the poison, remember, it causes destruction. Think of the poison bottle. And what I'm about to say, is that going to encourage somebody, admonish somebody, help somebody? It doesn't mean that we don't rebuke when we need to rebuke, but you do it in a right way. You don't have to go off and say horrible, terrible things to somebody to rebuke them. That's not necessary. The tongue, usually, when it's uncontrolled, brings destruction. Go back up to verse 2 one more time here, and we'll close with this. For in many things we offend all. That word offend is skandalon. We get our English word scandal from it. Skandalon, that was a trap for birds. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts taught them how to trap a bird. That used to be in the manual. I don't know if it is anymore or not, but it used to be in the manuals whenever I was growing up. They had all the different traps you could do. And so when you put the stick and you tied a string to it and you sat over in the woods waiting for the bird to come along with the seed that was there and you were going to trap the bird, you would pull the stick and it would fall down on them. By the way, that doesn't work very often. Usually the traps that we make as kids aren't very good. But that the stick that holds the trap above the bird where they go in there eating and then you pull out the stick, that in the Greek is the idea of skandalon, to trigger the trap. Our tongue is a trigger. And it can trigger and hurt and offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what? That word perfect there, as we said this morning, is the idea of mature. It's a mature person that can control their tongue by the grace of God. This series is intended to help all of us. And I pray, and we didn't even touch on all the things that we could have touched on about that. But remember, the tongue can be used for good, but it can also be used for much evil. And it's our privilege as children of God to have the Spirit of God that can help us control the tongue so that we're a blessing and a help to each other. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the written Word of God. I thank you for what you've shared in your Word concerning the tongue, and that we can curb the tongue by your grace, by your Word, by the Holy Spirit, and bring glory to your precious name in doing so. Now, Father, I pray that you would help us to have self-awareness. That's one of the important keys. Self-awareness is being aware. What am I doing with my tongue? How am I using my tongue? Am I helping or am I hurting? And many times we get into trouble because we lack that self-awareness. May we pray, may we gird ourselves with the precious Word of God to heighten the awareness of our tongue and the damage that we may be causing. And may we be used of Thee to be a blessing and help to others, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.